Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatyadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha. Paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Srila Sanatan Goswami ki jai. All right, so Hanuman is explaining how elevated the Pandavas are, elevated and how dear they are to Krishna, and he's explaining different reasons, different things that were happening, which make it clear that no one is as dear to the Lord as the Pandavas. So we are in the middle of that. Hanuman has already given some evidences, and he's going to give some more now. Yeah. Things like, you could say, special favors that Lord Krishna showed to the Pandavas, which he never offers to anyone else. And thereby we can understand the Pandavas are especially dear to the Lord. They've got more mercy than anybody else from the Lord. Okay, So we go in, we begin with verse 87. And this is really interesting. This is interesting. Listen to this. Lord Krishna, by acts of friendship, like giving his sister in marriage to the Pandava Arjuna, showed Arjuna full mercy. And that Arjuna bears my image on the treasured flag of his chariot. Well, it's an interesting point. There's two connected points here. First is, of course, as is clearly stated by Hanuman, he clearly states that, look, Lord Krishna was so close to the Pandavas. The relationship was so affectionate. The Pandavas were so dear to him that he offered his own sister to become the wife of Arjuna. He had that much confidence in Arjuna. Arjuna was so dear to him. Their relationship was just so deep that he happily did that. So that's nice. That's extremely nice. But there's a special consideration, you could say, and that is, who is the sister of Lord Krishna? Well, the sister is Subhadra, of course. But who is Subhadra? She is not just some ordinary girl or something like that. She is actually the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The internal potency. She is just a super special person. not just super special. She is a manifestation of the personality of Godhead. It's really incredible, actually. And still, Krishna had her marry Arjuna, who is, you could say, a living entity like us. So that was great favor, a great favor to Arjuna, showing how special Arjuna is and how dear Arjuna is to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if that was not enough, the Lord agreed to drive Arjuna's chariot in the battle. That's just inconceivable. The Lord is the Supreme Person, the Supreme Absolute Truth. And here he is agreeing to become the servant, really, the servant of his devotee, a servant in a very public and open way. Really, in front of the whole world, the Lord stepped forward, became Arjuna's chariot driver for the whole world to see, with no embarrassment or... Because, you know, when someone is a great, great person and somehow they end up doing something quite lowly, then this can be very embarrassing for the big person. So that's Arjuna. Arjuna is dear to the Lord, Hanuman said. Arjuna is so dear to the Lord. Got so much mercy from the Lord. But Hanuman says, but on Arjuna, on the flag, on Arjuna's chariot, there is a picture of me. And that's a great blessing for me. For Hanuman. Hanuman is saying, Arjuna is blessed by the Lord practically endlessly. But because Hanuman has a relationship with Arjuna, then Hanuman also gets some special blessing. He gets to ride on the chariot of Arjuna, on the flag. Yes. So therefore, Hanuman is proud to have his picture on Arjuna's battle flag. 88. Without the unconditional mercy of the Lord's most beloved friends, a devotee's loving service can never succeed or bear fruit. So, of course, this is a very important point in principle, that as Lord Krishna told Arjuna in a literature called the Adi Purana, it must be some sort of Upa Purana or even Alpa Purana. These are secondary or even third level Puranas, not amongst the 18 main Puranas, of which Srimad Bhagavatam is by far the chief. So in this Adi Purana, Lord Krishna speaks one very interesting verse. Yeme bhakta jana parita, name bhakta chaye jana. This is the first half of it. It means, yeme bhakta jana parita. That person who says, I am Krishna's devotee, name bhakta chaye jana. That person is not my bhakta, my devotee. Name bhakta. But mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas. Te me bhakta tamamataha. Mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas. Someone who says, I am the devotee of Krishna's devotee. Te me bhakta tamamataha. Te, that one. Te means that person. Te me bhaktatama. That one is my devotee. Yes. So this is the point in principle which Hanuman is making here. That whatever your situation may be in any other regard, but if you don't get the mercy of the Lord's devotees, and any devotees in one sense, but ultimately it means the great devotees, without the unconditional mercy of the Lord's most beloved friends. So these are very elevated devotees. So without the mercy of the elevated devotees, the service that a devotee tries to render can never succeed. It'll never succeed or bear fruit or produce any real result. So this is what Hanuman is thinking. The Pandavas are very, very special. So, for us as aspiring devotees, it's really important that we get their mercy. So therefore we should go to Hastinapur or Dwaraka, whichever it may be, wherever the Pandavas are now. Yes. Otherwise, if you don't serve the devotees, Krishna, he won't really notice so much. He won't really take notice of you and what you do. So therefore, pure devotional service depends or carries on completely under the authority of the Lord's beloved devotees. And therefore for us, as members of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, and really for the whole world at this point in time, to get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. There's in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna's speaking, and he speaks one verse in which he says a few things in the verse actually, but one thing he says is that serving the devotees is a more effective way of developing love for God than trying to develop love for God. Just think about it. It sounds contradictory perhaps, or an unusual idea, but it's the same point which Hanuman is making here. By serving the devotees, one develops love of God more easily than by trying to develop love of God. All right, yes, so, and let's just read a little bit from the purport here. So by now, Hanuman's ecstasy and unalloyed prema has awakened to such an extent that he feels stirred to go see the Pandavas at once. And he is about to propose to Narada just that. One can never become a recognized servant of the Lord. In other words, one can never enter the rasa of dasya without the blessings of perfect devotees like the Pandavas. Even if one externally makes a show of such service, one will not reap the fruit of satisfying Krishna and enjoying transcendental ecstasy. Pure devotional service proceeds completely under the authority of the Lord's beloved devotees. Okay, and verse 89. Therefore, and again it's Hanuman addressing Narada, therefore, O best of Vaishnavas, most dear devotee of the Lord, let us go together to see the Pandavas and take shelter of them. So the way Hanuman is speaking here, you might think it's a little subtle, but it's not really that subtle. It's pretty clear that Hanuman considers Narada to be as blessed as the Pandavas in receiving Lord Krishna's favor, because he addresses Narada, therefore, O best of Vaishnavas, most dear devotee of the Lord. Yes, that's who he's saying the Pandavas are. The best of Vaishnavas and most dear devotees of the Lord. So, yes. So Hanuman's words indicate then that he feels that Narada basically has got as much mercy as the Pandavas have got. So, yeah, that's in one sense. But in another sense, he feels that the Pandavas and he himself, Hanuman, are on a lower level, because he says, let us just go. Let us just go and see them. And then, when we've seen them, let us take shelter of them. In other words, ultimately the Pandavas are more elevated. They're more advanced. And so Hanuman feels we should go and humbly try to get their mercy, try to get their shelter, their protection. Apart from being fit to see the Pandavas, Hanuman and Narada should be able to receive from them special mercy by rendering such services as standing guard for them at night. So now, verses 90 and 91. So Hanuman, Never in Iodia did the Lord disclose what he now reveals in the district of Mathura, known as Dwarika. Countless varieties of supreme opulence and sweetness, one after another, which Brahma, Rudra, and other demigods can hardly fathom. These glories expand the love of his devotee. So, yeah, the Lord in, well, it's interesting, in the district of Mathura, known as Dwarika. If you know a little bit about the geography of India, you would know that Mathura and Dwarika, they're really quite a long distance from each other. They're really, you know, it's well over 1,000 kilometers. It's well over 1,000 kilometers. So, but the district of Mathura is the greater place, and Dwarika is within the district of Mathura. In this idea here, yeah. So, yes. So now in Dwarika, the Lord is revealing such amazing opulence, and not just opulence, but such amazing sweetness that anything like that has never been seen in Ayodhya, in the place of Lord Ram, which Hanuman, of course, is associated with. So Hanuman is just in ecstasy. He is just in ecstasy that this is, you know, this is something that has to be seen to be believed. So there's a comment in the purport. It's from Harivamsa. Harivamsa, you'll see if you read Prabhupada's books clearly, and if you've got Prabhupada's books on your computer, you can just look it up. And you'll see that Prabhupada refers to and repeats some statements in this book called Harivamsa. And it is a Puranic literature. It's not one of the 12, the 18, of course. So it's either an Upa or Alpa Purana, but it's in that group, the Puranic group of literatures. So there, in our purport here, it says that when the Madhu demon ruled Mathura, then the kingdom extended all the way to the western ocean and included the region of Dwarika. Mm-hmm. And so then Harivamsa is quoted. The Madhu demon himself, who was ruling Mathura all the way down to Dwarika, the Madhu demon himself says to some person, Hariyashva, he says, I am happy to see you. Let me give you this, my entire kingdom, except for the Madhuvan forest. Please agree to live here and rule the splendid kingdom, graced by the shores of the ocean. It is rich with cows and peopled mostly by Abira cowherds. during your stay here in the district of Saurashtra, there will come to be a great mountain fortress fit for the residence of kings and unequaled by any other royal estate. Your vast kingdom will be called Anarta. So anyway, that's the Madhu demon. That's the Madhu demon saying that his kingdom, because he was ruling from Mathura, so his kingdom within the parameters of Mathura, that it stretched, well, that he wanted to give it away to Haryashva, except for the Madhuvan forest. That's interesting. The Madhuvan forest. You go past Madhuvan when you go from Mathura to Govardhan town. When you go from Mathura to Govardhan town, you pass through Madhuvan. So, and Madhuvan is on your right, and there is Santanu Kund, and there's a nice temple in the middle of it. It's quite an amazing place. Yeah. So here's the Madhu demon giving Haryashva his whole kingdom except for the Madhuvan forest. And it stretches all the way from Mathura down to the ocean, where he says it's graced by the shores of the ocean. Yeah. So sometimes then it's possible to say like that about the Mathura district, that it stretches to Dwarka. And of course, you know, there's another sense there, and that other sense is that these places are so dear to the Lord. These places are so dear to the Lord that they're naturally connected together. Yeah. You can't separate them from each other. You know, of course, generally the district of Mathura is taken to be smaller as we know it today. More or less Mathura town, then over as far as Vrindavan town, and sort of around, not very far, but some surrounding districts to some degree. But if you go by car, you know, you'll be out of that area within, I don't know, half an hour, something like that. Yes. So, right. The smaller Mathura Mandala is the area marked by the footprints of Sri Nanda Nandan, Krishna, who frequently wanders and plays there, tending his cows. Okay, so the supreme opulences of the personality of Godhead are manifest in Dwarka because Dwarka is part of the greater Mathura. Yes. So therefore, it's possible to say that if you glorify Dwarka, if you glorify Dwarka, you are glorifying Mathura. You can say like that. So now there's the next section, which is very interesting in that our Hanuman has been, you know, so totally enthusiastic that, you know, basically, we must go. Let's go. Let's go to Dwarka. Let's go. Come on. That's his mood, apparently. But now that he's stated that and made it clear that's the program, now when Narada Muni says, yes, let's go, Hanuman is going to say, well, I'm not going to go because I got to wait here for my Lord Ram. And that's from verse 93 to verse 109, which is, we're getting close to, or 93 to 109. And we're getting close to the end of the chapter. So now, 92 actually. Last was 90 and 91, yeah. So here now in 92, so Hanuman is going to decline, is a nice way to put it. Or you could say refuse. You could say avoid going to Hastinapur. Hastinapur, which is part of that greater Mathura area. So Narada is going to respond now that, yes, let's go. Sounds amazing. Okay, Hanuman, let's go. But Hanuman will say, well, no, actually. So Narada, Sri Narada said, verse 92, ah, what are you saying? Something unseen in Ayodhya? It's not even seen in Vaikuntha. Get up, my friend. We should go there at once. So, yeah, either Dwarka or Hastinapur, they're both basically equally as good, because they're both the Lord's places, and they're both places where you can find the Pandavas. And Narada is just amazed. Wow, you're saying that the opulence and sweetness there in Dwarka or Hastinapur is greater than that in Ayodhya? Well, let me tell you one thing. The opulence and sweetness there in Dwarka or Hastinapur is greater even than Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Yes. So yeah, we should definitely go. Verse 93. Sri Parikshit said, Hanuman, the ocean of sobriety, then sighed for a moment, and after a brief time in thought, he bowed down to Narada and spoke. Yes. Okay, so let's just read the purport, short purport here. Hanuman's strict loyalty to Lord Ramachandra made him reconsider what he had been thinking. Well, not just thinking, but what he had been saying. What he had been saying, that, yeah, we must go, we must go, we must go to Hastinapur or Dwarka or Mathura, because they're all basically equal. So we must go. So Hanuman's strict loyalty to Lord Ramachandra made him reconsider what he had been thinking. he concludes that to go running off to Dwarka, leaving aside his regular worship, would violate his exclusive devotion. So he bows down to Narada to ask forgiveness before saying no to what Narada has suggested. What Narada has suggested, what he himself, Hanuman, has suggested, actually, really. So it's interesting that sort of etiquette he shows. He's going to refuse, very humbly refuse and say, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, I'm not going to do it. But his humility and his mood of decency, you could say, of etiquette, is such that before he says, I'm sorry, no, before he says that, he bows down. He bows down. Yes. He bowed down onto the ground before refusing and asking for forgiveness. 94. Sri Hanuman said, certainly it would be fitting for us to visit Dwarka, to see the Pandavas and offer them service, for they are in all respects most dear to the personality of Godhead and his consort. Yes, so there are two reasons, two good reasons for visiting the Pandavas, as stated here. One is just to see them. Just to see them is such a blessing. It's so much mercy just to see devotees like that. But the other thing is, to be able not just to see them, but to render some service to them. That's such a great blessing, such a great mercy. Or you could even say that seeing them, just seeing them, just having their darshan is itself service. Just to look at them is devotional service, because they're such elevated devotees. So if your sense of sight touches them, that's as good as rendering service. Right, 95. But the Lord is now displaying uncommonly intense mercy and sweetness, more confidential than anything he has ever shown before. Now, Hanuman, in just in the next couple of verses, he's going to bring up his reason, or one of his reasons. He's going to explain one of his reasons for not wanting to go and seeing the Pandavas and seeing Lord Krishna. And it's really a bit of an unusual reason. It really is. But listen to this. So again, verse 95. But the Lord is now displaying uncommonly intense mercy and sweetness, more confidential than anything he has ever shown before. And 96. those wonderful, playful pastimes are so supremely enchanting that they bewilder even self-realized sages. So Narada, Hanuman is saying that these pastimes that are going on there in Dwarka, in Hastinapur, in Mathura, you know, that those areas, the same types of pastimes. Those pastimes are just so extraordinary that they bewilder even elevated sages. So, if they bewilder even elevated sages, what about a monkey like me? If even great sages and saintly people become bewildered when they witness those pastimes, then a monkey like me, how am I going to be able to deal with these things? It's not going to be possible. Therefore, I shouldn't go. I shouldn't see them because I'm just not qualified. If even the great sages are not qualified, how could I be? This is the idea. So he's going to admit his fear of offending Krishna and the devotee, because Hanuman is part of Ram Leela, and Ram Leela is very formal. Ram is the king, and he's the master. He's the Lord. And you don't joke around with Ram. You got to be on your best behavior, very respectful. But Krishna, in Krishna's pastimes, in all these different places, particularly Vrindavan, of course, but they're not going, there's no suggestion of going to Vrindavan, because Krishna is not in Vrindavan at this point. He's in Mathura, or he's in Dwarka, or maybe visiting Hastinapur. So, what to speak of Vrindavan? Even a place like Dwarka, there's a lot of less formality than in Ayodhya with Lord Ram. Yeah. In Dwarka, things are much more easygoing, you could say. Yeah. More relaxed. So the statement is, even in Dwarka, what to speak of Vrindavan? The mood of devotional service in the company of Sri Krishna is more relaxed than Hanuman is accustomed to. So he's worried about becoming confused and doing something wrong. Although at the same time, he acknowledges that the beauty of Dwarka, the charming nature of Dwarka, and the intensity of Krishna's mercy there in Dwarka has never been shown before, even in a place like Ayodhya, which is basically Hanuman's place. So he carries on, 97. Just see how even your father Brahma, grandfather of the world, founder, acharya of the Vedic teachings, was confused by the pastimes of Krishna. So, well, that's an interesting point. Lord Brahma is the first of all the Vedic acharyas. You get the Manus, the Vyasas, and so on. But Brahma is first. He's the Adi Kavi, that as the first verse of Bhagavatam says, the original poet or like literary person is Lord Brahma. Yeah. But even though he's in that sort of position, what happened to him? Do you remember what happened to him? He became bewildered and he stole the cowherd boys and calves of Lord Krishna. So, if it can happen to Lord Brahma, then how does a monkey like Hanuman have a chance of not becoming confused? So yeah, and Lord Brahma, when he went through the whole Brahma Vimohana Leela, it's called the Leela of Lord Brahma becoming extremely confused. Vimohana. Moha. Moha means illusion or confusion. Moha. And this is Vimoha. V as a prefix. V means very extremely. So Brahma Vimohana Leela means the pastime in which Lord Brahma became extremely confused. Yeah. So, okay, verse 98. So what can be said about foolish forest monkeys like me? Anyway, you know, Hanuman, he's way above our heads, way above. But he's presenting himself like this, out of his humility in terms of the Leela. So what can be said about foolish forest monkeys like me? Because of how strangely Krishna's pastimes unfold, as you also know, he tells Narada, I'm afraid of committing offenses. So what does he mean? That because of how strange some of Krishna's pastimes are, as you already know, Narada Muni, what does he mean that Narada knows how strange, very extraordinary Krishna's pastimes sometimes are? What's he referring to? What he's referring to is how Narada Muni, as described in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni visited Dwarka once and visited Krishna's different palaces and sees all the different things Krishna was doing and all the different relationships with the different family members and all of that. And in each palace, Krishna was doing different things. The same Krishna. Some in one palace he was joking with his wife. In another palace, he was arranging for some military expedition. In another palace, he was seeing that his children become educated. In another palace, Krishna was performing a Vedic fire sacrifice. And Narada is just going from one palace to another, and then to another, and just seeing all these very different things going on at the same time. And it was just a very astonishing and overwhelming experience for him. And that's what Hanuman is referring to because of how strangely Krishna's pastimes unfold, as you also know, I'm afraid of committing offenses. Yeah. So, okay. 99. Let the wonderfully varied pastimes of the Lord be the very life of his servants who think of nothing but him. For such devotees, those pastimes always increase the ecstasy of love of God. Okay. All right. So those pastimes are wonderful. Yes. So we go on to verses 100 to 104. They're all put together. Let's read those. So it's still Hanuman. Even so, I simply feel more attracted. Even so, I simply feel more attracted to the Supreme Lord in his eternal identity as Sri Raghunath, the son of Dasharath and joy of Mother Kausalya. His heart always tender with natural, unaffected compassion. He is spontaneously attracted to loving exchanges with his devotees, exchanges free from any tinge of duplicity. He demonstrates how to follow properly the religious duties of civilized people. And he upholds the strict vow of having only one wife. In the shyness of innate humility, his face always looks downward, his eyes fixed on the ground. His exalted character is pleasing to all. He stands with bow in hand, the King of Kings, the hero of the city Ayodhya, served by Sita and Lakshman, and with Bharat as his older brother. He rules the race of monkeys as the dear friend of Sugriva and gives shelter to Vibhishan. By my hearing of the pastimes of Krishna, the unlimited loving attraction I feel toward my own master has increased. So he's been talking about that. Means how wonderful is Krishna and how wonderful are the devotees of Krishna. That's what he's been talking about. And so he's saying here that this has influenced me to become more attracted to my own master, Lord Ram. 105. Therefore, I think I shall stay here, constantly seeing him in this form and drinking the immortal nectar of his pastimes. Yes. In other words, Hanuman is saying, I am not independent. I am completely dependent on my Lord Ram. Even though he knows that Lord Ram is an expansion of Sri Devaki Nandan, means Dwaraka Krishna, still Hanuman feels, I must continue to worship my Lord Ram. 106. And when the Lord may sometimes call me for some purpose, by his grace, great mercy, he might allow me the transcendental happiness of serving him. Yes. So, in other words, because where are they now? Hanuman and Narada Muni, where are they now? They're in Kim Purusha Loka. That's where they are. But if Lord Ram sometimes calls Hanuman, Lord Ram, who is in Ayodhya, and Kim Purusha, Ayodhya is not in Kim Purusha Loka. So if Lord Ram in Ayodhya calls for Hanuman, who's in Kim Purusha Loka, then Hanuman will just immediately go, immediately leave Kim Purusha Loka to be with Lord Ram, to serve Lord Ram in Ayodhya. Yes. So, and there's a point made here. If Sri Krishna in his pastimes kindly calls for Hanuman to assist, for example, to appear on the Kurukshetra battlefield to frighten the Kaurava soldiers, Hanuman, of course, will gladly come at once to Hastinapur or Dwaraka. Verse 107. This is interesting. Or, inspired by affection for me, the Lord may call me just to show me the beautiful form I love more than my own life. Yeah. So, he feels, Hanuman's saying that he feels that it would be easier for him to give up his own life rather than leave the service of Lord Ram. Yes, just see the dedication. So particularly for Lord Ram. Now there's an interesting little story here that I want to tell you. Once Lord Krishna in Dwaraka wanted to break the pride of Garuda. So he called Garuda, Krishna in Dwaraka, called Garuda and said, please bring Hanuman from Kim Purusha Loka, bring him here to Dwaraka, tell him I want to see him. So Garuda went there and told Hanuman that, my dear Hanuman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Yadunath, the king of the Yadu dynasty, means the Lord in Dwaraka, is calling you, Hanuman. Lord Dwarakanath is calling you. You should go to him at once. But Hanuman, who of course is devoted to Lord Raghunandan, Lord Ramachandra, ignored Garuda. He ignored Garuda's request. So Garuda became angry and tried to grab Hanuman and take him by force. But Hanuman, with the tip of his tail, pushed him away effortlessly, just pushed him away right away, and Garuda could not do anything more. So Garuda fell through the sky and landed in Dwaraka, yeah, where Krishna, amused to see him like that, said, now, Garuda, what you do now is you go back to Hanuman and tell him that Lord Raghunath wants to see you. Sri Raghunath is calling you. Please come. So, okay, Garuda went. So then Krishna turned himself into Lord Ramachandra. Balaram became Lakshman. Satyabhama was meant to become Sita, but she couldn't. So Rukmini became Sita. Then they stood waiting for Hanuman at Dwarika. Okay. So Krishna is Lord Ram, Balaram is Lakshman, and Rukmini is Sita. They're now in Dwarika, and they're waiting for Hanuman. So Garuda went to Kim Purusha Varsha and met Hanuman again and told him that Lord Ramachandra is calling for you in Dwarika. So Hanuman just ran. Hanuman took off and went running to Dwarika. And when he arrived there, he took darshan of the disguised Krishna and Balaram and Rukmini and offered prayers in devotion. So, very much satisfied with Hanuman, the Lord bestowed on him whatever benedictions Hanuman wanted. So, let's see. Let's have a look here. All right, so we'll finish here. And next will be verse 108, Stovasam. Okay? So we'll see you tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Sri Sanatana Goswami ki jai. Go Premanande.